I want to tell you something that you need to hear. I believe in you. I love you. God believes in you. God loves you. I'm amazed at how many Christians walk through everyday life and don't have deep, deep down in their heart a belief or a knowing that God believes in them and that people believe in them. You have to know inside of you that you have support that is willing to stand behind you and walk with you through all things. The good days, the bad days, the ugly days. When you have it in you that somebody believes in me, God believes in me, someone loves me, it adds strength to your fight. I've been through circumstances in my life where I've been hit so hard that I didn't believe in myself. In those moments, I needed friends to remind me that they believed in me. I needed to be picked up. I've needed to be lifted up and encouraged over and over in my life. I've not made it through this life without friends and people who believe in me. I look at my own children and I see how much their life changes, their day changes when I say the words, "I believe in you," when they're attempting something that they may be afraid of or doing something new, and they see their parents supporting them. And you may be not raised with people around you or don't have anyone around you that believes in you that you know of, but I'm here to tell you that that's not true. God believes in you. I believe in you. God loves you. I love you. I was in a service one time, a little Sunday school class. I was in my early 20s, and there's only about 15 people in the class. It wasn't the main service. It was just in a classroom. And a lady named Gayla was just teaching. And all of a sudden, I felt this yanking in my spirit. It wasn't in my emotions. It was in my spirit, man. And I fell on the floor, and I began to wail and cry and moan and groan and curled up in a ball. And all the other people there, the 15 other people, were in shock because all of a sudden in a nice, quiet teaching classroom, here I am laying on the floor curled up, moaning and groaning and crying. And most of them were thinking I was devil-possessed and they were going to come cast the devil out of me. And I remember Gayla stopped them and said, "No, leave them alone. This is God." And she knew that it was God by the Spirit. And let me explain what happened to me. It was in that moment, I felt God's heart for you. I felt God's heart for people. And I believe that's the moment that God called me into my ministry. And because when He called me, He didn't just tell me what to do. He let me feel His heart for the people that I'm supposed to minister to. And I saw and felt, it wasn't an emotion, it wasn't an outside emotion, even though I was wailing, it was inside, it was my inner man. And I was feeling the heart of God, the brokenness of God for the many, many believers who's given up on their calling, who's given up on God, who's given up on themselves, and the multitudes of people who pressed into God at one time, who were born again and chased God, and were beaten up by life, were beaten up by circumstances, were beaten up by their own flesh, and eventually they just gave up and they quit trying to pursue the high call of God. They quit trying to pursue a deep relationship with God. And I felt God's heart, His brokenness towards the person who wants God but just doesn't believe in themselves that they can make it, who doesn't know how much God loves them, who doesn't know how much God believes in them. And when He stamped me that morning in my early 20s, it was like He stamped me with or branded me with that feeling, that desire to help every person, every believer who has given up. You know, there's people with a lot of zeal, but zeal runs out. And if you don't know how much God believes in you, if you don't know that there's love behind you and love for you, and you've given up on trying to change, on trying to grow, on trying to follow God, then this message is for you. I believe in you because God believes in you. I love you because God loves you. And you need to know it, and you need to trust it, and you need to believe it, that you're not alone in this walk. Even though you may not look around and say, I have no one. I don't have a pastor. I don't have a friend. I don't have a mom or a dad who says, go for it, I'm with you. You need to know that God has not abandoned you in this life alone, that He has not only placed Himself, but has placed me or other people in your life to say, you can do it. You can make it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Run into God. Keep running. Keep pressing. Keep fighting. Don't give up. Discouragement comes, and the first thing it tries to tell you is things aren't going to change. And the next thing it tries to tell you is you're all alone. And that's a lie from the pit of hell, because things are changing, even if it doesn't feel like it, and you are not alone. I'm going to read you to you a verse out of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 and verses 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. Now I'm going to stop right there. And we're going to focus on the word beloved. Here Paul writes Timothy and says, a beloved son. And I want you to hear this, because when I look up the word beloved, it means esteemed, worthy of love, favorite. Paul is encouraging Timothy and saying to him in that word, beloved, I believe in you. You're worthy of my love. You're my beloved. You're my favorite. I remember Harrison, I used to tell him his whole life when he was a little kid, oh, you're my favorite. You're my favorite. And then Ava came along. Ava's about 3 years younger than Harrison. And he would tell her, you know, she's a little baby, I'm Dad's favorite. So I had to help him understand, you're my favorite boy. And she's my favorite little girl. And then I tell Ava, you're my favorite little girl. She goes, well, what about Mommy? And I said, well, Mommy's my favorite big girl. You're my favorite little girl. You're allowed to have different favorites. And I say that because you need to know that you're God's favorite. You need to know that you're loved and you're favorite of God and you're worthy of love. And I can't say it enough that I believe in you. God believes in you. I love you. God loves you. When you know that, you get strength. You get courage. And it's okay to have to get courage from outside. It's okay not to be the lone island person that has to stand on your own. And even when you feel it, because I can tell you, so many people want to grow through things, want to overcome things, and they get frustrated with themselves, and they get wore out. And this is the branding that God gave me of the group of people that I'm called to speak into their life. The ones who want God but are frustrated with overcoming things. And maybe you've overcome something and it just keeps coming back in. And you need to be encouraged. Don't give up. This path that we talk about with praying in the Holy Ghost and fasting and worship and confessing and meditating the Word of God, it works. It builds your inner man up. You are victorious and you are going to conquer whatever is in your way. Whatever is contrary to the will of God, you are going to overcome if you don't quit. When I saw this image of God's heart, when I felt it, I cried probably, I don't even know how long. I won't even guess. I laid there curled up in a ball, and all these emotions, and they weren't natural emotions, but they were emotions from my inner man, were just weeping and wailing as I felt God's brokenness towards the people who gave up and were giving up and felt alone. And these were His children, born again people who went to church, who did good works and tried to live good lives, but they gave up on who they are. And there's, let me tell you, there's messages and people out there preaching, and God bless them, they're taking people to heaven, but I've noticed that the church has settled, the church world has settled for a lower standard of calling, where they've turned much of the Christian believers into two types of people, that you come to church and you have a role. Your role is to go get people saved and to bring money into the church. Go out and witness, go out and lay hands on people, and that's your job, and bring them to church, and then, you know, bring finances as well. And, you know, God bless them, that's an okay thing, but I'm going to read you another scripture here that's really important for you. And it's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 12, and we're just going to read five verses here. This is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, and this is for you. This isn't for someone else. This is for you. Part of the reason for this message is to stir up in you and in me the understanding that God has something valuable for you in this world. God sees you as His beloved. God sees you as valuable. My role is to be a strength to you, to love you, to believe in you, and to remind you how much God loves you, believes in you. And here in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So let's read that again, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? I'm going to keep reading. This is good. Verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Now see, the church world over the last generation or two has, in my view, settled for just being a good at a few things. Go to church, be a nice person, don't yell at your kids too much, don't cheat on your taxes too much, don't cuss too much, and come to church on Sunday and bring as many people as you can. Go out and witness, go out and pray for people. That's your job. But here it tells us of a body, that we all, you and I and everyone who's born again, is birthed by the Spirit, baptized into one Spirit. We're all part of the body of Christ. And that means that there's more than just two jobs in the body. It's more than just winning souls. There's more parts to the body. And He uses the word body, which is impressive, because He's trying to give an image. The Apostle Paul is here for you to see. Just look at your own body. Look at your hands and your feet. And look in the mirror at your eyes and your nose and your ears. And internally, we have so many different parts that do different jobs. The liver can't do what the kidney does. And the kidney can't do what the heart does. And the heart can't do what the lungs does. The body is very diverse. It has many parts. And what God showed me in that floor where I wept and cried was how many people aren't walking into their part, into their placement in the body, because they don't feel worthy. They don't feel loved. They don't feel important. And because of that, the church has been able to lower its standard to simply say, hey, you have one job. Go out and win souls. Go pray for the sick. And go out into the world and bring people in the church. That's what you're good at. The saying that I heard, which is not a bad saying, but it brings the level down. It was, sheep are the ones who make sheep. And the point was, it wasn't the job of the pastor to go bring people in the church. It was the job of church folk to bring people in the church. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. But what we don't want is for us to pursue those two simple levels of, I'm just called to go out and win souls and pray for the sick and live my life and then bring money to the church and that's it. What's important to know is that you and I have something specific that God has designed for you. In your mother's womb, before your mother met you, she may have felt you kick, but before your mom ever put eyes on you, God met you and knew you, and He placed a call on you. He designed a call for you. I used to think it was the other way when I was young. I used to think, man, I'm afraid to follow God. I'm afraid to give my life to God because I don't want to go to a certain place, or He may ask me to move somewhere I don't want to go, and He still might, but the truth of it is, God isn't asking you to conform into something you're not called to be. He designed a call that fits you perfectly. And that has to do with the body. That we're all part of a body and specific parts, specific important parts. I remember being in California preaching, and I'd always heard for years, in my younger years, preachers say, well, if you don't fulfill your calling, God will pick someone else. He'll take your talent and give it to someone else, and you'll lose it. And I was walking in the hallway of the hotel room to the bathroom, getting dressed, getting ready to go preach. And it was a suit and ties church, so I was getting dressed nice. And as I was walking in the dark hotel room, I saw an image of my little girl, Ava, standing there in front of me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, could you trade her for someone else? And I said, not on your life. No, I wouldn't switch her for somebody else. And the Lord said, and I will never trade you for someone else. And He shared with me just a moment of a glimpse of His heart towards me. That He doesn't cast you aside. He doesn't leave you, abandon you, and move on to something better. I mean, one of the fears that many believers have is, well, I'm not good enough, and someone better will come along, and God will say, well, nice try, but this person is better at it, so I'm moving on, see you later. I remember when I was just a teenager and just starting to follow God, I was probably 17, 18, and the Lord had asked me to give up some friends. And yeah, I was 18, and good friends, and Christian friends that weren't serving God with their whole heart. And God had asked me to, and spoke to me, and said, I want you to give up your friends and press more into me. And I remember saying to Him, God, I'm going to do this for you, and you're going to still not pick me. I won't be good enough for you. I was concerned that I was going to give up my friends like He asked, and He still would not pick me. The verse came to me that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. This is 2 Chronicles 16:9. Searching, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, searching for a heart that's loyal towards Him. And I imagine God flying around the earth and just looking, searching for someone. And that morning, I remember I stood up in my bedroom and I began to wave as if God was flying over top of me. And I begin to bring Him in and say, God, I'm right here. Choose me. I'll give you everything. And I meant it. I'll give you all that I am, the good, the bad. You know, because I do have a heart that's for you. That's the one thing I did have. I didn't have education scripturally. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't know all the Bible stories. But I had a heart that wanted Him. And see, that moment I gave my life to Him. Not salvation, but gave my life to Him to lead me. And once I knew that He wasn't picking someone else because I didn't meet the mark and someone better would come along. And that's what I would tell you too, that He's not going to pick someone. They're in His eyes, you're His beloved. In my eyes, you're beloved. You are worthy of love. You're the favorite. You're the favored. You're the esteemed highly. You're the beloved. And you can hear that. And you can say, well, me? Yes, you. And when you go through hard times, when you're going through difficult times and you feel like giving up, you can remember He's not going to move on past you. I won't move on past you. He loves you. I love you. He believes in you. I believe in you. I know from that moment, 25 years ago, I know from that one moment where I lay curled up in that classroom floor, He branded me with a love for you. He branded me with a care and a calling to tell you that He loves you. He won't pick someone else. He won't override you. He won't say you're not good enough. He believes in you. And I know right now that in your mind you might be saying, yeah, but you don't know me. If you knew me, then you wouldn't be saying that. Let me read you a verse. I picked this verse just for this moment. You've heard this before, but I'm going to preach it to you anyway. It's in Jeremiah 29. Don't close your ears. Listen, let me read it to you. Okay? Because you know, you've heard this verse, but I'm going to read it to you just so that it reminds you. This is Jeremiah 29, verses 11, 12, and 13. This is God speaking to you. And He knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your secret struggles. He knows your failures. He knows how many times you gave up and got back up. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. I'll read that again, just so you get this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me. I want to remind you today that you're loved, that you're not forgotten, you're not alone, that God's placed people in your life. He's placed me in your life, if you like, to be a cheerleader and an encourager to you and a reminder that someone believes in you. And that someone loves you. And you need to hear that. I need to hear that. We have a world that's so shallow nowadays that people confuse love for something that comes and goes, and they don't see godly love. They don't see Christian love that says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That even when you're struggling, you have people in your life. Apostle Paul wrote Timothy and said to him, you're my beloved. This wasn't an earned position. He called him a son. A son is birthed. It's not earned. It's not a purchased position. You're not loved because you're perfect. You're not loved because of what you do. You're not loved because of what you accomplished. You are loved because you are a child of God and we're family. And that's a love that the world's lost. You see people get married and divorced. You see people give up on each other. All the time in the world. And even in the Christian world, we see, I'm embarrassed because I see so many churches that are so focused on growing the numbers of people, they forget to love the people first. That's the most important. First, that little person born again, that born again child, a born again person, no matter how old they are, they're born into the family, that they feel the love of God through each person they meet. It's a shame how shallow many Christians are. And I pray almost every day that I get past my shallowness And thank God for praying in tongues. And thank God for private worship with God. Because in those moments of prayer and worship, I felt God's love become part of my love. And I see growth in my ability to love people, even people who might hurt me or not like me or be mean to me. There's a love that's growing stronger and stronger that I can't help but love them, even if they don't deserve it. This is the love I'm talking about from God that isn't deserved. It's not earned. If it's not earned, it's not lost. You can't run from it. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as he pleased. So he's saying here that he has a position for you in his body that's not like anyone else, that can't be replaced. You cannot be replaced. All of this in your calling, all of this in God in your life has to start with understanding the love of God, how deep that love is for you. It's easy to get lost in a crowd and to feel that you're just one of a number of people. And let me tell you how many people, the multitudes of people that I've talked to over the years who have been cast aside by preachers, been cast aside by churches, been left behind, been walked away from by ministers and Christians who gave up on them and have taken that so personal that they can hardly find trust anymore that somebody really loves them. When someone says, "I love you," they don't believe it. In the back of their mind, they say, "Yeah, you love me until I don't show up. Or you love me until I don't give you money. Or you love me until I stumble or I struggle." And so we have a group of believers who go to churches who hide all their weaknesses. They hide their struggles because they know that if they're exposed for what they're really going through, that they'll probably be cast aside. And they take that. Many Christians have taken that system of love, which isn't really love, and they reflect that onto their relationship with God, where they come to church, and I mean, we all dress up for church, we all try to, you know, act nice for church, of course, but when they come to church and they have to hide their struggles and their weaknesses and their insecurities and their sins that they're struggling with and their emotions that they're dealing with and their failures and see, when we have to do that with one another, I mean, my gosh, we can't tell another believer what we're going through because they'll tell everyone else. We don't know love. But we can take that same belief and we reflect that onto God, that God, when I worship you, I'm worshiping you from the church person that I am, but not from the real person that I am. But when you understand, if I can help you in any way understand the love that God showed me to have for you, that means that you can go before me, you can go before God, and you can expose every struggle, every weakness, every wrong thought. You know, when you start confessing your struggles to God, you kind of say, well, you know, as if he doesn't know, but, you know, I did this. And then you look and you're wondering if he's going to smack you. Okay, I did this, and you're waiting for him to turn his back on you. Always remember, I'll never forget Pastor Dave Roberson saying, God turns back on Jesus, so he'll never have to turn his back on me. See, this is a love that isn't only supposed to be given to you from God. This is supposed to be given to you from believers, from me to you, from you to me. A love that says, I get it that you're not perfect. I get it that you are struggling. I get it that you got areas that you're embarrassed by. But I'm still here, and I still love you. And God's still here, and he still loves you. So pick yourself back up, and let's go. I went through a time years ago. I suffered a stroke. I'm still recovering from it, but I remember it stripped me emotionally to a place where I got into real dark depression. And I couldn't get out of it. I tried. My wife tried to pick me up, and she called over our best friends over, and they came, and they had to reach into that hole and grab me by the neck and say, "Get up. Let's go. Keep moving. Let's move it." And I just needed that little spark to know that I was going to be okay. I don't mean to get emotional, but I'm blaming on this stroke. I get emotional all the time. My kids laugh at me. If there's a sappy commercial, I'll start to cry, and they'll look at me and laugh at me. But they picked me up, and I needed that encouragement just for the moment to remind myself, because the natural emotions can feel so real, and it can make you feel so defeated that sometimes you need a lift, an encouragement to say, "Don't you give up. Someone loves you. Someone's with you, walking with you, and won't give up. Even when you give up, they won't give up." And that's my message to you today. That's my word to you today. I love you. I believe in you. God loves you. God believes in you. And even if you don't have anyone around you right now that says that to you, I'm telling you, get up. Keep moving forward. Don't look at your failings. Don't look at your struggles. You're not going to be replaced. God will never give up on you. And so how could I give up on you? How can I speak as a preacher representing God and make you think that you're not good enough, that you're not going to make it, that God's going to abandon you? How could I ever... If I represent the love of God, I should represent the love of God. And that love says, I bring hope. I bring encouragement, not defeat, not discouragement. I'm not here to tell you how much of a failure you are. I'm here to tell you, you're beloved. You're loved. You're His favorite. You're my favorite. You have someone who loves you. God's made sure of that you're not alone. You're not to feel alone. Don't give up on pressing into Him. You have a specific calling. And even if you're struggling to find that calling, you've been seeking God for years, I'm still not there yet. You're growing in God. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep worshiping Him. Keep developing that inner man, letting it grow stronger and stronger and mortifying that outward man. And let me tell you, God will come to you and say, "Now it's time to step into your calling." And you will fit perfectly in that calling. It'll be like a fish that found water. It'll be right where you're supposed to be. And God will give it to you. He'll hand it to you. Don't give up. You're loved. I'm going to finish with this verse. 1 Corinthians 12 again. Verse 12. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." That means you, in your mother's womb, you did not get to vote on your calling. You didn't get to say, "I want to be a mighty apostle. I want to be a great evangelist. I want to be a great entrepreneur." God looked at you and made a calling for you. And then He went and waited for you to come find Him and get born again. And the moment you were born again, you were born into His family. And He began to develop in you the heart and the walk towards your calling. Not just your personal walk with God, but a specific part in His body. And that means that whatever part that is that He has destined for you, designed for you, whatever part that is, it cannot be greater or less than another part. The apostle is not greater than the person who cleans the church. Every calling is as important. Every person is as important as the next. And in the natural world, we lift up people for different reasons. But in God's world, in God's family, there's no one greater than you in calling. I remember I went to Nicaragua with a team of people. There was one fellow. great hearted guy, but kind of a gentle hearted and very non-verbal, not able to speak publicly. Very, he would lock down and not a great communicator. And I remember we would take turns. I made everyone take turns sharing. And every night I would say, okay, because we were there, we were helping preach and build the church and feed the poor. And we had, I think maybe 10, 12 of us went to Managua in Nicaragua on a mission trip. And so I had everyone sit around at the end of the day and say, now share what happened, share what you learned, share it a little bit. And this fellow every time would say something like, you know, God was good. That's all I got to say about that. And he would shut down. We couldn't coax him to say anything else. Other people would give great stories of what happened, but for him, that's all he could say in our little circle. And we were friends, and that's all he could say was, God was good. That's all I'm going to say about that. And that's all he would say. And you would think, well, come on, brother, you know, you can do more. And I'll never forget, because we stayed at a pastor's house in Managua. They had, all the houses have a brick, or in this neighborhood anyway, had a brick wall built around it with broken glass on top of it for security. So, and dogs, so no one would break in and steal from them. And we stayed in there, and I'll never forget, because they didn't have hot water. So all of our showers, we'd race to be the first one to shower in the morning so you can get some of the heat that the water held from the ground, because the first shower had about 1 minute of warmth to it before it got cold. And we were sitting around, and here's a guy who couldn't talk verbally very well, communicate very well. And all of a sudden, during the afternoon, we heard this great commotion outside. And we all peeked over the wall, and there he was outside, the same fellow who couldn't talk or couldn't communicate very well. And he was playing soccer. All the kids, him being an American guy, was playing soccer and rallied the whole neighborhood of kids and was able to share the gospel with them and win them over. And you can't tell me that he was worth less than the guy who could testify. His calling was specific, and kids were saved because of him in Managua, in Nicaragua, because he got to be him. You get to be you. You are special to God, to me. And I'm going to close with this. I believe in you. God believes in you. I have a heart for you, because God stamped me to say, don't ever give up on my children, because I won't. And when I got up that day off the floor, Miss Gayla said, you just received your calling. I understood that day, for me to receive my calling, God wanted me also to have his heart. And that's never left me. All those years later, I still have that same heart of his branded in me that says, don't give up on anyone. Love them. I love you. I believe in you, and God believes in you. I know it may sound sappy, but I want you to hear it. I love you. Don't you dare give up on your calling. Don't you dare give up on chasing God. Pick yourself up. You can do it. Get up. Keep praying. Keep seeking him, because there's amazing things in your future, not just in this life. If I were to compare my life to my friend from Nicaragua, I could probably stack up much more accomplishments in this world than he has. But in the eyes of God, just in that one moment, that man did more in that one moment. God did more through that man in that moment in that neighborhood for all those lost children than I've done in my whole lifetime. All my preaching, all my traveling can't compare to what God did through him in that one moment. Don't compare yourself to others. You have a Father who loves you, and he's put friends in your life who love you. Let's keep walking together. Let's share the real love of God with each other. I love you. It's my pleasure to be with you. Thank you for spending time with me. God bless you.